Agnes's tour of the house ended in a small study. Bookcases lined three of its walls. A stuffed mallard and two stuffed fish, a trout and a king mackerel, were mounted on the remaining wall. There were a few books scattered on the shelves, mostly 10-year-old and older novels. Windows opened to the left and rear. Through one, Castillo saw that floodlights around a decent-sized swimming pool had been turned on. Max was happily paddling about in the pool, while Maidkin stood on the side and barked at him. The study was furnished with a small desk, a well-worn blue leather judge's chair, and a soiled, well-worn chaise lounge, none of which had obviously struck the heirs as worth taking. There was a telephone on the desk, but Castillo didn't pay much attention to it until it buzzed and a red light began to flash on its base. Then he saw the thick cord that identified it as a secure telephone. Agnes picked it up.
C.G. Castillo's line, she said, then. Yes, the colonel is available for Ambassador Montvale, and handed him the phone.
Castillo. Charles Montvale, Colonel. We will be at your door in approximately 5 minutes.
I'm looking forward to it, sir, Castillo replied, and then, when a click told him that Montvale had hung up, added,
about as much as I would visiting an Afghan dentist with a foot-powered drill.
Agnes looked at him. I gather you're speaking from experience?
Painful experience. With both.
How do you want to handle this?
I will receive the ambassador in here, where he will find me carefully studying my computer, which I will close when he enters. Have everybody but Koshin, Tor, Bradley, and of course Lieutenant Lorimer, in the living room. We'll have to bring chairs from the kitchen or someplace else for them, I guess.
The living room had a beamed ceiling, a brick fireplace, and hardwood floors. There were two small and rather battered carpets that the children of the former owner also had apparently decided were not of value to them. Marks on the floor showed where the valuable carpets had lain, and marks on the wall showed where picture frames had hung. There were four red leather armchairs and a matching couch that also had apparently missed the cut, although they looked fine to Castillo. Another stuffed trout was mounted above the fireplace, and there was some kind of animal hoof, maybe an elk's, Castillo guessed, converted into an ashtray that sat on a heavy and battered coffee table scarred with whiskey glass rings and cigarette burns. Castillo had decided he probably would have liked the former owners. He was already feeling comfortable in their house.
Ambassador Montvale, Colonel, Agnes announced from the study door 5 minutes later.
Castillo closed the lid of his laptop and stood up.
Please come in, Mr. Ambassador, he said.
Montvale wordlessly shook his hand.
I haven't had a chance to make this place homey, Castillo said. The chaise lounge all right, or would you rather sit in that?
He pointed to the judge's chair.
This will be fine, thank you, Montvale said, and sat at the foot of the chaise lounge.
It was a very low chaise lounge. Montvale's knees were now higher than his buttocks.
Getting right to it, Charlie, Montvale said. How bad is the compromise situation?
I think it's under control.
I'd be happier if you said you're confident it's under control.
Think is the best I can do for now.
Sorry.
Tell me what's happened, and then I'll tell you why it's so dangerous.
We were all watching Hurricane Katrina on the television when Corporal Bradley marched in with a guy at gunpoint, a guy Max had caught coming through the fence.
Max?
Montvale interrupted. Who the hell is Max?
Castillo walked to the window and pointed. Less than gracefully, Montvale got to his feet, joined him at the window, and looked out. Max had tired of his swim, climbed out of the pool, and in the moment Montvale looked out was shaking himself dry.
You could have said our watchdog, Charlie, Montvale said disapprovingly.
Then curiosity overwhelmed him.
God, he's enormous. What is he?
They are Bouvier de Flanders.
There's a pretty credible story that Hitler lost one of his testicles to one of them when he was Corporal Schickelgruber in Flanders. It is a fact that when he went back to Flanders as Der Führer, he ordered the breed eliminated.
Fascinating, Montvale said, as he walked to the judge's leather chair and sat down.
It is also a fact that when Hitler was a corporal, he was Corporal Hitler. That Schickelgruber business was something the OSS came up with during World War II. It's known as ridiculing your enemy.
Really? Castillo said, then thought, you son of a bitch, you grab my chair.
Well, I'll be goddamned if I'm going to sit on that chaise lounge and look up at you.
Castillo leaned on the wall beside the window and folded his arms over his chest.
Trust me, Montvale said, it's a fact. Now, getting back to what happened after that outsized dog caught the guy. He turned out to be an assistant military attaché in our embassy in Asunción, Paraguay. First Lieutenant Edmund Lorimer, formerly of Special Forces, now of Intelligence. One of his pals, a DEA agent.
Name?
I can get it from Lorimer, if it's important to you.
Lorimer? Any connection with our Lorimers?
Just a coincidence.
Where is this chap?
Upstairs.
Go on.
Well, Lorimer is clever. He put together all the gossip, and when the drug guys kidnapped his DEA agent pal, he decided that Colonel Costello, getting my name wrong was about the only mistake he made, was just the man who could play James Bond and get back his pal. And he came looking for me, and found me.